out my front door.
Hi, this is Tiffany the Last.
And this is Pirate Davy Jones.
And we're at SOMA with Keith and Dan of Good Old War. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Afternoon, I'm in the backyard, passing the time. And when I've said goodbye to sunshine, I call on some of my friends.
Your newest album was released last week. What are some surprises for your fans?
Well,
musical surprises?
Any?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We have a couple different things that we did on this record. We made a couple songs that were instrumental, that have like more complex, I guess you could say. Like we weren't as focused on being able to recreate it like note for note. So we did stuff like I would sing a line and then all these guys would harmonize on it and then he would sing a line and we would all harmonize on that and we just built these pieces that are only like a minute long or something, but a little experimenting. And then aside from that, I don't know, what do you think?
I think there's a lot more playing on the album. There's a lot more really good drumming that you can hear.
Bigger drums.
Bigger drums, yeah. Bigger guitar parts, too. I mean, just more of a band. Like, we definitely solidified the sound of the band, I think, way more than we were on the first record, where we were discovering ourselves. I think now this is like the full-grown version of the band, mm-hmm. I think.
Record be released on vinyl?
It is already.
It is, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you selling it downstairs?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And as far as it being like full grown up to this point, but I still think we're going to push it.
Oh, well, yeah. We have way further to go, yeah.
Because we're just like, we're always writing songs, so we're just going to keep trying. We don't want to like have too much of a departure from one record to the next record, so we're just going to keep adding in little things, yeah. You know, and trying things and progressing, basically.
Yeah, I'd say if you hear something new on one record, expect it to be taken a little bit further on the next record. And that's sort of the way that we're going to do it. And there's definitely, like, more vocal ideas. I mean, that's our thing, you know. We try to sing together a lot. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear more complex harmonies, but they're all recreatable. So, you know, trust us when we say that, like, we're really doing, mm-hmm. you know, what we did. And there's no auto-tune or anything like that. So it's really us, mm-hmm. you know. And we tried to make it as full and huge of a production as far as vocals go as mm-hmm. possible, with just the three of us doing what we can actually physically do.
I think another surprise might be there's kind of funkier percussion on there on some of the tracks, and then Dan plays the ukulele and Tim plays the accordion, so there's more tones than a few more tones than the last one. I played some keyboards on it too, so
yeah.
So was your choice not, you mentioned auto-tune, was your choice not to use auto-tune very conscious? I mean, I imagine it is, but I would just want to know why you would choose not to, and does that represent, you know, the purity within your sound and such?
I don't think that we're like, I don't think we have a problem with auto-tune. I just think we wanted to make a record that was real.
Yeah.
And we took that all the way to the end. We have no issue with what anybody else wants to do or anything like that. We just, for us, it felt right. We felt really mm-hmm. comfortable with the way that we sound, and we feel really confident about it and proud of what we do. Mm-hmm. We want people to really hear us, you know? Mm-hmm. Hear the reality of what we're doing, you know?
And then on top of that, we recorded it ourselves, and
we don't know
none of us have know how to use auto-tune, so we're just like, what you get is what you get.
Yeah, this is going to be real. You better get that take
right.
Exactly.
A lot of your songs, you mentioned harmonizing. What's a key to a good harmony?
Blend. Mm,
yeah.
I think blend is the key, in my opinion.
I think also like finding the comfortable spot in each person's range and kind of sticking to that. I mean, we kind of try different things, but I think that might have something to do with it. And then also just a lot of practice, you know, we warm up together and we play every day. When we're at home, we practice 5 days a week for 5 hours.
And we still have off days every once in a while, yeah. You know? One guy might not feel as good as the other guy. Mm-hmm. You just have to try to get into a similar headspace. I think for us, we try to sing like each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to imitate each other to a certain extent without losing our own identity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me your greatest influence musically.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
My greatest influence musically. There's just so many. I mean, I guess the influence is like when something strikes a nerve in me, like, be like, oh, I got to do something like that, you know. And it could be something in classical music, or it could be something that Aphex Twin does, or it's like. Or they're both the same to me. You know what I mean? They do. There's classical artists that cover Aphex Twin songs. Where, you know, like, I love acoustic stuff. My bandmates inspire me the most, probably. You know, like the shit that they do is, excuse my language.
Like, it's a podcast.
You know, I gotta do that. I gotta be that good. I gotta do that. You know what I mean? Kind of that whole thing. If we're talking major influences, like, for me personally, like, you know, obviously this is right now, so, like, what's working right now? You know, what are people into? You know what I mean? So, like, you know, the way I see it is, like, hip-hop is probably, like, hip-hop and country is, like, the most popular thing, you know what I mean? Like, and even country music sounds like hip hop, sort of, right now. Like,
yeah, it's kind of strange. Like, and very clean.
And I'm talking pretty much like, what do we do to borrow some influence from that? Well, sonic quality, maybe, you know, like groove, you know.
Little percussion things that happen and stuff.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
Where things sit in the mix, these kinds of little
things. And then you take it like another step. Well, I'm influenced by hip hop like that because, you know, it's working and I love it. I love the way it sounds. I love how it makes people dance. But I also love country music, or, you know, old country music, folk music. So how do I take
standards.
That? Yeah, how do I? Yeah, old pop standards. Yeah. You know, like I listen to go to sleep at night. Like
classic rock. I mean, it goes everywhere.
You know, how do I make these things my own? Basically, how do I do that with the three people that I'm involved with? You know, what I mean?
And I think the coolest thing about that is that it's not a challenge. Somehow, that somehow has been the littlest bit of a challenge. Mm-hmm. Like the smallest challenge of the whole band has been finding our sound. Like, mm-hmm. we literally play what we play, and we, you know, we talk about it, we arrange things, mm-hmm. but we're doing what each one of us does, mm-hmm. you know, very naturally in the band, and it turned into the sound of the band, mm-hmm. which has somehow turned out to be kind of a new sound, yeah. or, you know, which surprised us all and is continuing to surprise us, and that's a cool thing.
Was there ever a time, and this is addressed to both of you, when you were kids or adults, where you heard a song and you said, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
Which song was it?
I know what yours is. You go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you know what mine's. Well, you might know what mine is. It was an oldies song.
Yeah.
My little runaway.
Oh, yeah, Del Shannon.
Run, 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 run away. I was like, I got to sing like that, dude. Or even the Everly Brothers, like oldies, but like very specific style of vocal, like.
Real vocal.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, that's the sound right there. When I was real young, like probably like 5 years old or something like that, sitting with my headphones, golden oldies, you know that one. Just like there's some of these guys, like I got to sing like this, and I was like singing choruses and you know elementary school and stuff like that.
Mine was definitely, I remember it really. Really clearly, I listened to Physical Graffiti. I was probably about, like, 10. I had been playing guitar for a couple years, but I wasn't really playing. You know, I was messing with it. And I took a couple lessons, and I didn't really know. You know, I just loved it, but I didn't know what I was doing. But I heard 10 Years Gone, which is a Zeppelin song on that album. And I just remember there's like all these layered guitars, and I was just like, I realized like I could hear the guitar. You know, it was the first time I could really like pick the guitar out of the mix, and I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to play like Jimmy Page for the rest of my life, if it's possible. And I haven't done one thing nearly that good yet. But I will still work on that. It takes a long time to get as good as Jimmy Page.
It's funny, though. I remember those specific moments, too, where it's just like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that chill. It gives you chills, you know? Like, I remember that. Like, sometimes when I hear it, I still, like, remember that moment. Like, I remember exactly where I was and what it did, and just all those do 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 do, and all those harmonies came in, and I was just like, oh my god, this is so cool. How did he even think of that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's where you felt that something very powerful was speaking to you.
Yeah, it took over.
Like that, right?
Yep,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
If there was a hero of the good old war, who would it be?
If there's one hero of the good old war?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to say Nilsson would be my choice of who I think is the hero of the good old war.
Nilsson? Besides the fact that he was a heroin addict.
Well, no, I mean, not his lifestyle.
Yeah.
Definitely
you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, but songwriting and just as far... Like, we'd probably all agree on Nilsson more than almost anybody else.
Yeah, I definitely think Nilsson is, like, right there. That's a real tough question also, because,
yeah,
like...
we change a lot.
Yeah. Because, you know, I was going to say McCartney or something like that.
McCartney,
but
Paul Simon, too.
Thing.
But it seems like Nilsson... is the one we all like. That was it's another one of those like what the fuck moments that we had.
Yeah.
Remember, we put on that song "Don't Forget Me."
Yeah.
And we were all we listened to it about 30 times in a row. Man, you know, like we'd all heard the song before. It wasn't that. It was just like, this is it. You know, like this is the ultimate song. Like, how can we do something this good?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, give us a story of how you know. Of course, we could always look this up on the web and such, but I think it's great to kind of hear how you both got your start and have come together as this band, having had experiences in the past with you know, making music in another form.
Right.
And
sure.
Another band.
I could try to make a long story short here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I had a band, my old band. I started when I was in eighth grade.
The year that
I met my wife. And and so, you know, did that in high school and played the shows, you know, like played with other local bands every weekend. And then high school, 11th grade, there's the band Further Seems Forever. Like, got my tape and they were looking for a singer and went down there and they asked me to sing for their band. And I was like, well, these guys are all like 30 years old and I'm only 17 and they think I'm 19, like that type of thing. But since they like it, maybe I can do something on my own. So instead of going to do school like I was planning on doing at that point, I was like, I'm just going to try to do a band. And then I had a buddy from California, Charlie Adams, who was like, hey man, I want to put out your records. And like, when I was in high school, I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. He's going to fly me to California and we're going to go, you know, do that thing. So he helped me out. I moved out here, did that thing. Days Away was picking up. And then we signed a record deal, did that whole thing. And then it just like totally wasn't working. There was like, we weren't agreeing on what to do musically. We weren't on the same page at all. There were so many things wrong with that band, you know what I mean? We were just excited. We wanted to make the coolest stuff ever, right? So, as I was realizing that wasn't going to happen, like, that wasn't going to work. That wasn't going to be what I was going to do for the rest of my life. It's when Tim, our drummer, was living in the city. He met Dan. He was playing in Dan's other band, Unlikely Cowboy, who was like, great band, five-piece band, kind of country.
Band.
What?
Large band.
Large band.
Yeah.
Six people, you know, like, not six people, five people. But, like, big band, playing in Philly, just kind of, you know, like, doing their thing or whatever. But Tim asked me to record them demos or something like that. And I did that, and he was just, like, awesome. He's awesome at the acoustic guitar, so I was like, hey man, like, do you want to come play some shows with my band? You know, like, let me get close to this guy real quick here. And had him record like an acoustic version of one of my old band's songs with me. And then that was basically like the first thing that we did together that sounded like good old War. So then we had a tour booked that was going to be like 500 people places, you know, sold out in my old band. And we found out our keyboard player was leaving, and I was just like, hey, we're not doing that tour for to mean nothing. You know, we're going to break up after the tour anyway. I'm going to start a new thing right now, and we're going to go on that tour. And it's going to, hopefully, it's going to work. And so Dan agreed to do it. Tim was in my old band, so like it was like, all right, let's go. We'll play our old band songs acoustic, and then make our own songs up on the way to the shows, basically. And we'll try to fuse this thing together, and we'll start this new thing, and we'll get people talking about it. And that's exactly what we did. We went, we were playing our old band songs acoustic, making our own songs up. By the end of that tour, we were like, all right, let's think of a name. Let's really do this thing, you know? And
it was uphill from there.
Yeah, and that's basically how it started. Just like, just, you know, I had faith in his skills. And I think that it goes deeper than that. Like, we were in big bands before, and we wanted to cut it down, cut the fat, and be like, all right, well, him and I like writing pop songs.
There's no
we're on the same page here from the very beginning. That's what we like to do. Let's keep it small. Let's keep it not so loud, you know? Like, because my old band was pretty loud, and I just wanted to focus on singing, you know what I mean? So it's like, let's use your acoustic guitar skills like crazy. And then
guitar
let's
and vocals.
Just focus on the singing, you know?
Yeah.
And it ended up working, you know, we were developing the sound on that tour, and then we got home, we demoed these songs that we were making up. And then from there, we just kind of just kept on figuring it out. How do we add drums to this? How do we add bass to this now? No, you know, I wasn't a bass player, so it's like, now let's just add this in there, you know, this keyboard bass for now, you know, like fill in the low end. And that was it.
So does that have something to do with the name of your band too, and how that's an amalgam of the last names? Is that also very true? As how the name of your band is kind of a melding of the last.
It's absolutely It's absolutely a melding of our names. We just actually Keith's wife helped and a friend helped come up with that. So they we wanted to do our names. We knew like the bands that we wanted to you know, we were taking influence from the very beginning were bands that had their names in the title, and and it was just us. And we wanted to make sure that there would never be a chance that somebody else could be in the band. And, you know, like it was just like this is our band. This is our band. We trust each other. We finally found that magical connection that you can't find anywhere. That you get in bands with hundreds of bands throughout your lifetime, and they just you always have that one thing. It's like we didn't have anything that didn't work. Yeah. So we wanted us to be the band, and no matter what, you know. So we wanted to have our names, but our names just didn't sound good together.
Goodwin, Arnold, and Schwartz. It sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, so we broke it. So, like, they just broke it up in a million different ways until we came up with the one that worked.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's funny, when we got that call, they were like, what do you think about Good Old War? Like, where did you come up with Good Old War? What are you talking about? Like, it's a piece of each one of your last names. Right. I'm like,
genius.
I think I might like that.
Do either of you get pre-show jitters?
I definitely get pre-show jitters sometimes. Tim is like the most relaxed. He's not here, but he's the most relaxed person ever. Mm-hmm. And I've learned so much from the way that he's never nervous. He never thinks about it. He just gets up and he's like, you know, you're doing what you do best.
Yeah.
So like that's the we have a like a Buddhist chant that we all kind of do, and that's not a religious thing. It's just like it's like a, you know, just sort of like a Zen, like, you know, and it's something that Keith has said to us, you know, like, when you're not feeling good, it may not mean that much to us as much as, like, but the idea of, like, okay, I can just say this and, like, center myself. But, yeah, we get nervous. Don't think we don't get nervous, but we definitely, like, know that we're doing what we do best, and that's that, you know?
Well, for me, if I, for example, we went to go sing God Bless America at a Phillies game, you know? 55,000 people sold out. And I'm, like, sort of nervous about this, like, different than what I'm used to. Like, most of the time, I'll show up and it's like, all right, I'm ready to go, you know? This was the time where I'm like, ugh, I'm, like, sort of, like, freaked out about this whole thing. And then as soon as the first note hits, it's like those thoughts are gone. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, as I don't know if it's muscle memory or if I've, you know, I've been training myself to like not focus on the wrong things when I'm playing. You know, and being nervous would be focusing on the wrong things while I'm playing. So it's like, yeah, pre-show, every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, like Bamboozle Festival, even like, oh, this is kind of the big deal, whatever. And then I get up there, and as soon as we start, it's like that thought is
gone
completely. And now it's just, what does the song mean, or you know, like where are these notes lie, and so like, it's not like I heard, you know, that the singer from Korn used to like throw up before he played or something like that. It's nothing anywhere near that kind of thing. But there is always, you know, there is sometimes like, ooh, this is pretty crazy, you know? But, you know, it works out.
Excellent.
It's why we practice.
What for you is the best thing that you like to pull away from a show?
Well, in this band, it's definitely become people singing along. You know, people will come and sing along. It's like a massive sing-along. And, like, it feels so good, you know what I mean? Like, I've been working so hard most of my life, and to have, like, every city I go into, a sing-along of the songs that I wrote is, like, that was legit. That was, you know, every night, like, I'll go into the hotel to, like, get into my hotel room, and, like, hey, how you doing at 2 o'clock in the morning? Like, I am fantastic. How are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, ooh, I've never heard that before. Well, what are you so happy about? Stuff's just going my way, you know what I mean? Like, this is like when I feel like when I connect with people like that, when like people are singing along and they come up to me like, your songs are, you know, so fun, and like your shows are fun, and like, and I see how happy it makes other people, I'm just like, definitely this is the reason why I've been doing it from the beginning, to make people happy, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just like when I see it, I'm like, I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And if in my old bands, it's like, didn't see that kind of thing going on, and it would be like, what am I doing wrong? Oh. You know, like, and it's just, you know, it's way more, you know, fulfilling when you got people enjoying it with you, and, you know, that's what I like to take away from me, that whole, just like, I know that a bunch of people were, you know, were super happy for the last hour or two, you know what I mean? Like,
best show.
You know what, as a general rule, we ask the bands to give their best pirate impression, and if you could do that, it'd be a great pleasure for us to hear that.
Arr!
Thank you.
Terrible.
No, that's good.
Now, I'm like the worst guy to ask for impressions. Like, my Jim Carrey impression is, alrighty then, you know what I mean?
Something far inside hurt your body, close your eyes, and I'll bring you back to here. You are my own sinking ship, 'cause every day